We got a phone call about it's the Lord's Supper. So my mind started kind of spinning in the afternoon when we take the Lord's Supper. So I've got an idea of what I want to do today is talk to you about our precious Savior. So I hope you'll be in prayer. And what I'm going to do really, I don't really have a big sermon planned. I want to let the Word of God preach. But you know, I'm a big memorizer. I really emphasize memorizing. So periodically, I go over scriptures that have to do with the 5 points, so-called TULIP, like total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, and so forth. So what I'm going to do today is read you and make comments on the scriptures that I have memorized on particular redemption. And there'll be about 20 of them. If I run out of time, I won't go forever. But I hope God will be with us today. We may be able to honor His name. And I want to go over a couple of songs, too. So I hope you'll be really in prayer. And I want to start out with reading something that I hadn't memorized necessarily, but you know it very well. This is the way I feel today. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul speaking. And I, brethren, I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Let me say something about that, about myself, not trying to call attention to myself. I know I'm not a great speaker. I ought to be better. I'm still working at it, believe it or not, after 50 years. You probably don't believe it, but I am. But I'm kind of halfway glad in a way I'm not a good orator. I need to do better. I know that. I want to you to do better. But I'm kind of glad I'm not a good orator because y'all know what you see and what you get with me, and everybody knows that, I think. I can't put on if I wanted to, so I don't even try. And I want to do the best I can, but Paul did not want to come. He couldn't. I can't even do that. He could have done it. I can't do it. He said, "I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." But he had a reason for this. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's what we need to always do, isn't it? That's the most important thing in the whole world, is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I sent out a message to some of my favorite preachers today. I said, we're preaching a crucified but risen and reigning Savior. That's what we're doing today. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not an enticing word of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And he had a reason for that. And it ought to be, you ought to always cherish this concept that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Because men let you down. I let you down. I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. You can see a lot of flaws in me. But we're going to all let you down. So your faith is not, even though you all love your preachers, and you do love men, and I appreciate that, and support them every way you possibly can when you do that. But don't ever put the preacher up too high. Paul said, I do not want your faith to be in the way. If we had a genius here, you don't have a genius in the pulpit, but if we had a genius in the pulpit, don't put your stock in that kind of stuff. I really appreciate Tony Macavella, what he used to do. I won't name this preacher, no point in it. He's a great preacher. He's a fantastic preacher. In fact, this man I've got in mind, he's a preaching machine. And I mean, he got a good spirit with him. He's just powerful. But Tony didn't think near as fast as this guy did. This guy just rapid fire. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. And Tony said, I reserve the right to not be overwhelmed by him or anybody else. I reserve the right to mull and chew over what he's preaching and examine it and see if it's right. And that's what you need to be doing also. See, we Baptists live in congregational church government. The buck stops with y'all. And so that's why that we need to always do what it says in Acts chapter 17 that the noble Bereans did. They're more noble than those of Thessalonica because they received the word with all readiness of mind, which we all do that. But then they search the scriptures daily to see whether these things be so. So what we all want is for the Lord to set our pulpits on fire, the demonstration of the Spirit and the power. I remember one time being over in Texas. I think I told you about this before. It's back in 1969, because I know I just got married, and Judy couldn't go with us this time for some reason or another. So I'm out at Brother Cooper's, and a guy named I.W. Gillum. And old Gillum got to preaching, and Pop, Brother Cooper's daddy, Cooper is one of my favorite preachers, he hollered out, he said, lift old Gillum. He preached above his head. And we all started just kind of crying. We didn't laugh at him because it's so good. He was preaching over his head. We knew that when old Gillum. You got to get a hold of him. I'd like to see some preaching like that, wouldn't y'all? So anyway, let's talk about the Lord. I'm just going to go through scriptures that had to do with the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to read them, not in any special order, and make comments on them. Let's go to Galatians 4:4. These are some scriptures I have on my little memory card here that I work on when I'm trying to memorize scriptures on particular redemption. So let's just go some and see. Some of them we'll stay with a while. Some of them we might move on. But I hope you'll be overwhelmed. You ought to be overwhelmed. The Bible's full of this, isn't it? That's what the Bible's all about, isn't it? The Bible's all about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, right? From Genesis to Revelation. Jesus Christ, Him crucified. So let's go to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. When the fullness of the time has come, and God's always on time, God knew what He was doing. Jesus came at the right time in history. And He's going to come the second time, the right time in history also, isn't He? When the fullness of the time has come, God sent forth His Son. He sent Him forth. That He's the Son of God. He's the eternal Son of God. Made of a woman, made under the law. This is all great doctrine. I can't tell you this one verse, but just think about it. Meditate on these. Chew on this. And write some of these down. Made of a woman. Isn't that wonderful? The virgin birth. Isn't that great? The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Made of a woman. Isn't that amazing? The virgin birth. I'll quote you another scripture in a minute from Matthew 1:20 before we get down to 21. That's a wonderful thing, the virgin birth. But Jesus Christ is a human being. He's a human being, the God-man. He did that for two reasons at least, probably a lot more. One reason is the law was broken by a human being, had to be fulfilled by a human being. But this couldn't just be a human being. It had to be a human being also united with divinity, that His sacrifice might have infinite value. But also he took on Himself a human nature. He can sympathize with you and me, isn't it right? He made that plain in Hebrews, didn't He? We have not a high priest. We cannot be touched. Get that word touched. The fitting of our infirmities. He was tempted, tested, in all points, like as we are, you know, that sin. Isn't that great? You got a broken heart, He knows what it is to have a broken heart. You know, to feel sorry for somebody, He wept. Jesus wept, the shortest verse in the Bible. He groaned in His soul. He knew what it was to be tired. Fourth chapter. Some of y'all get real tired, don't you do? People working hard, sometimes people get old, don't have any energy anymore. Jesus Christ understands all that. He had to sit down over there in the fourth chapter of John by the well because He is tired and He gets hungry. He poor. Some of y'all may be poor. Some of us maybe we're not known as really poor in this country right now. Some are poorer than others. He had the birds of them have their nests, the foxes have their holes, the Son of Man had nowhere to lay His head. Born in a manger. Buried in a borrowed tomb. Sometimes we worry about it costs so much to get buried now, doesn't it? Well, my friend, He was buried in a borrowed tomb. And He made this world, but didn't have one foot that he had a title to it. Not a foot that He had a title to that I know of. So, made of a woman, made under the law. Made under the law. Like we're under the law. He's under the law. But the difference is, He fulfilled it to reach out and tell you don't. You're lawbreakers. I'm a lawbreaker. You should have heard Brother Brady this morning. If you didn't, you ought to start listening to him. He put a great sermon on total depravity. And he really convicted me. I know I'm a sinner, but Bull Bradley really put me down in the dirt. I'm glad he did. That's where we ought to be in the dirt. My friend, there's nothing in you that's good, intrinsically. It's what God puts in there. The Apostle Paul wasn't just being, not hyperbole at all. Oh, wretched man that I am. Brother Bradley even said, the some denominations have taken the song Amazing Grace out of their book. So they don't like that word wretch in there. But my friend, we're wretches. We're full of sin from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. You've had nasty thoughts since you've been in church this morning. You'll have some more before you leave. When you would do good, evil will always be present with you. That's what makes it beautiful about the death of a child of God. No wonder the Lord said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. All you'll lose when you die is your sinful nature, and you gain everything else. He made on the law. But you know what? We got to be a law keepers or we won't go to heaven. But we got a substitute kept it for us. He made under the law. Isn't that amazing? He never made one mistake. Not one mistake. Have you ever left anything off that you should have done? I know you have. That bothered me sometimes worse than some of the things I have done. Both of them bother me. But my friend, there's nothing He should have done He didn't do. Never did anything you should have done. Never uttered one idle word. Not one. One. And they're trying to hang on him to just catch him in a word. They couldn't get one out of him that was wrong. Never had a bad attitude. I got a bad attitude all the time. I just can't believe myself sometimes. Never had a bad attitude. Never had the wrong look on his countenance. He fulfilled the law to every jot and tittle. But my friend, the beautiful part, he did it for your sake, not for his sake, for your sake. Made it under the law. Why? Now, I got some words you need to learn to love these words and roll them in your tongue and talk about them and chew on them. A lot of words we'll look at today. To redeem. Oh, I love the word redeem. To redeem them that were under the law, we might receive the adoption of sons. We're adopted sons and daughters. He's the only begotten son. We're adopted sons and daughters. And my friend, when the Holy Spirit comes to your heart because you be born again, you say, Abba, Father. That's like saying Daddy or Papa. Abba. Isn't that beautiful? See, the devil says that you can't come to the Lord, but you can if you love him. You can come to him. And you're a sinner, repent and confess your sins and come to him. He's willing and ready if you're brokenhearted. He'd never turn a brokenhearted sinner down yet. Now, you can't, if you're going to go ahead and persist your sin and try to fool him, you're not going to get anywhere. But you get down there and come right, my friend. He'd never turn down a contrite sinner yet and never will. That's the truth. Coming to me, all ye, are any of you there today? Laboring or heavy laden. All kinds of things you'd be laboring about. Worries about the future. Worried about your sins. All kinds of things. Unknown things. You don't even know why you feel so bad. We don't even know our own selves, do we? It's like Bradley said this morning. Somebody said, if I know my heart, he said, well, just put it down. You don't know your heart. You don't. Because God's word said in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So you don't even know your own heart, really. You know a little bit, but not really thoroughly. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you, you'll find the rest of your souls. How can I come to him? I tell you why. See, some people are not even approachable. I hope I'm approachable. Sometimes I know I'm not. So I got a nasty disposition. Probably sometimes Jesus doesn't want to approach me. I shouldn't be that way at all. If people have a real stern countenance, I just can't hardly approach them. If somebody's got self-righteous, I can't hardly approach them. But my brother, I'm meek and lowly in heart. You can find rest of your souls. That's what we find when we come to him. Isn't that beautiful? But in the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, that under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And that word redeem, I love it, don't you? It means he paid the ransom price for us. Get the word ransom, redeem. ISIS, take somebody captive. I read about a guy the other day. In fact, I'm reading a book about persecution right now. That a man had $3 million. Of course, they didn't get it. I think $300,000. But the point is, here's somebody taken captive, and you got to pay a ransom price to set them free. Well, my friend, we're taken captive by our sins. But he paid the ransom price. And you know, let me say this. This is not being arrogant. This is not being saying too much. God can't hold me guilty. God's not going to frighten me to saying that. He can't hold me guilty. You know why? He's a just God. He's a just God, and the price has been paid. He cannot violate his nature and hold me guilty if my price has been paid. That's glorious. That's glorious. Isn't that amazing? He could not acquit me if I were guilty, but he cannot condemn me if I'm not guilty. That's amazing. All right, let's look down in Ephesians 1:7. Just a few scriptures here. I don't know how far we get. Hope you'll grab these and think about these. My friend, this is important. This is more important than your bank book. More important than your insurance policy. More important than your new car. More important than your education. Your kids, I'm glad you're getting a good education, but that's more important than that. Because all the things I've named are going to burn up one of these days. All the things I've named. The Rock of Gibraltar is going to be gone someday. The Himalaya Mountains will be gone someday. The elements will melt with fervent heat. The world and the works there shall be burned up. But these truths are going to stand. These truths are going to stand. If you're one of his children, you have an eternal existence. You're entering into it right now if you've got eternal life. But the fullness will come later. So these are important. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption. In whom? In him. In whom? Redemption. I love it. in whom we have redemption, through His blood. That's how He got it. We're going to talk about the blood some, and this afternoon when we do the Lord's Supper, of course, we're going to emphasize that. That's how we have redemption, through His blood. The forgiveness of sins, every word here is precious. Every word, isn't it precious? Every word, let's listen to every word. In whom we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. He doesn't just have grace, He got rich grace. He got a whole ocean full of grace. I need it too, don't you? I need lots of grace. Lord, how can you keep on forgiving me? I just keep fouling up and messing up, and you still love me, God. How can you do that? Well, I've got this inexhaustible ocean of grace. Of His fullness have we received, and grace for grace, as John 1:16 says. Of His fullness. His fullness. My friend, I want to encourage you today. I don't want to condone you in sin, and myself neither. I want to encourage you. Life is worth living when you live it for Jesus Christ. We'll get down, the devil will make things look darker than they really are. He does that. He's doing it to you right now, probably. I talked to people this last week. It's not near as bad as you think it is. The devil will always make you look on the dark side. He'll always magnify your troubles. That's just, he's in that kind of business. But my friend, listen, the song had it right. No matter what condition we're in, all is well with our souls. Even what he read, Noah read over there. And I love that in Psalm 89. He said, now when you don't behave yourself, I'm going to visit your stripes, but my loving kindness will not utterly take from you. Isn't that great? I'm glad to know that. I'm glad he striped us too. He did it for a reason. He loves us. And you, if you mess with him, you'll be sorry you did it. Because he can whip you a lot harder than you think he can. But, thank God, his loving kindness, he will not utterly take from his children. Because of the covenant of grace. You need to grab a hold of that. The devil don't want you to think that. He wants you to think, well, I got you down now. I got a thorn in your neck. You'll never get back up again. He's a stinking liar. I don't mind calling him that. I'm not getting smart with him. I got to say the Lord rebuke you. I know that. My brother, God Almighty, tells me, he who began a good work in me will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Okay, look at Colossians 1:14, the parallel text. I'm just going to go a few texts now. We're bragging on the Lord, aren't we? We can't overdo bragging on the Lord. You know that? Isn't that great? I can do it. I'm pretty bad on bragging on stuff and exaggerating stuff. But I can't exaggerate this. I guarantee you, when I get through, if I did 10 times better than I want to do, when I get through, the half hadn't been told. I guarantee you that. Colossians 1:14 is a parallel text with Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 14. I'm just picking, cherry picking. I mean, the Bible filled with this glorious truth. Who gave Himself for us. Think about it. He gave Himself for us. Somebody, nobody ever gave me anything. What are you talking about? Nobody ever gave you. You're a child of God. He gave Himself for us. He freely did that. That He might redeem us from all iniquity. All of it. And let me tell you what else He's going to do. This is why I believe in the doctrine of perseverance. That some people deny that they're wrong. I'm not saying you live a perfect life. You won't. You'll mess up maybe worse than you think you will. But I'm telling you that the difference in a born-again person and one who's not born again. You can put that down. Here's what God wants out of you and me. And He'll get it to some extent, my friend, even right now in this life. Because He knows how to chastise us. And He will chastise you. Because He said that in Hebrews chapter 12. My friend, He wants us to be a partaker of His holiness. So sometimes He'll really give us a good scourge. And that's a pretty hard whipping. But you know, He does it why? He hates us? No, He loves us. Hebrews 12. Can't preach the whole Bible right now. Who gave Himself for us, He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify Himself, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I hope you want to be that kind of a person. You've got to be. A peculiar means a special people. Zealous, are you zealous of good works? Or are you kind of indifferent about it right now? Anybody in a backslidden condition? Well, get zealous. Why must He around? You ain't got one life to live. Why waste any more of it? If you're not serving God with all your might, what are you waiting on? In our history book that I'm teaching the kids, World History, there's a line I like a lot in there. And I hope this will get you heart. This book says history is the story of what you do with the time that God gives you. What are you doing with it? You ain't got much of it, you know. Let me say it again. History, your history, the story, what you're going to do, the time God gives you. You ain't got much. Have you wasted any of it? Well, what are you wasting it for? You ain't got much. When you get on your deathbed, what are you going to think about? I'm glad I served God as much as I did. I wish I served you more. Let me say it again, my friend. Your personal history is the story, what you've done with the time that God gave you. You can't buy one more second of time. I know that Warren Buffett's got a bunch of billions. I can't even fathom a billion. He got a bunch of them. But he can't buy another second. Bill Gates can't buy one second of time. Not one. Sam Walton, I hope Sam the child got to where he was not. But I tell you what, he might have made a lot of money in Walmart. He hadn't got any more. You came to this world with nothing. It's certain you carry nothing out. So what are we doing with the time God gave us? Hebrews 9:12. Oh, what a one. Oh, this is so great. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's one reason I preach what I preach. He's not a would-be Savior. He is not a would-be Savior. He did not die to make salvation possible. He died to save people, my friend, and he saved everyone he wanted to save. He died all the ones that the Father chose in him before the world began in election, and all the ones the Son of God died for, the Holy Ghost is going to get them born again sometime between their conception and their death. Let me say more about this. I love this. Listen, you know I did this one time. Y'all remember this. See, when the temple was dedicated, there's an unbelievable number of sacrifices. The Bible tells us how many there were. So I got real curious. Tom Tedder kind of got me curious one time preaching about blood. Y'all remember that probably. So I went to a lot of work, and I enjoyed it. And I can't tell you the results except in a general way. But I found out from a veterinarian how much blood most oxen have got. And it's a bunch of blood. I found out how many sheep. Now, I overdid the sheep. They don't have much blood I thought they had. This is not totally all. So I got all that blood of all the sheep, all the oxen, all those gallons of blood. I put them in two ways. I put them in barrels, 55-gallon drums. And I found out how much a drum weighed. And I called the Tennessee Department of Transportation. And I noticed how much you load a flatbed truck to get a drum of oil on there. I mean, a drum of blood. I said, I'm going to do it a different way. I'm going to get the tank trucks. I got gallons of tank trucks. And I can't tell you how long, but I'm going to tell you the bloodshed when the temple was dedicated is a long line of trucks either way you want to go. Either the tank trucks or the 55-gallon jugs on flatbeds. Let me tell you what. Every drop of that blood reminded us of the blood of the Son of God. But not one drop did a bit of good to get us saved. Neither by the blood of goats and calves. But every drop should remind us because God wanted to remind us. Why did he have the Old Testament sacrificial system? Every day they saw that. The morning sacrifice. The evening sacrifice. Every day. And the other sacrifices. And the free will sacrifices. And the feast that they had. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty. See, we're not farm people. Most of us are not. But it's not pretty. In fact, that Kidron, y'all read about that brook Kidron, where they did dump the stuff that came to the temple. It was just sickening. The place just bled. It stunk. All that blood, those gallons of blood on the brook Kidron that Jesus Christ crossed over before he was crucified, reminding him of what was going to happen to him. Filled with this nasty old smelly blood. But why did God, listen, God wants us to think about the blood. That's what we do this afternoon, what we're doing right now. Because the blood is what redeemed us from our sins, his precious blood. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, that's the heaven itself, the inner sanctum, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Isn't that great? That's a great scripture. Look at Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Get that sin. He didn't say sin. He said sins. S-I-N-S. Every sin Zach gets it, every committed will commit, were placed on Jesus Christ on Calvary. He didn't just die, generally, for sin. And if you accept him, then your sins are forgiven. My friend, Jesus Christ died for every lie I've ever spoken. Every lustful look I've ever looked at. Every bad thought I've ever had. Which any one of them would condemn me to hell. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look into him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So I hope you're looking for him. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For much as you know, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. All the money in the world wouldn't save one sinner. But the precious blood of Christ, the precious blood, may it be precious to it, always more precious to me. The precious blood of Christ, out of a lamb without blemish, without spot. Let me say something about that. Without blemish, without spot, isn't that something? You know, I used to not enjoy, I'll be honest with you. I didn't used to enjoy Leviticus. All those sacrifices and all those details and going over and over. But I love Leviticus. It's one of my favorite books now. Let me tell you two things I started underlining when I read Leviticus. I started underlining them. Without blemish. Without blemish. Without blemish. The other one was a sweet savor. A sweet savor. Read it the next time you read it and see if you don't enjoy it more. He's emphasizing the lamb had to be without blemish. My friend, see, even on the Passover lamb, they kept it up for several days to watch it. You know why? If it had a blemish, it would not be qualified to be the Passover lamb. Well, guess what they did to Jesus Christ? They had a magnifying glass on him for 3.5 years. Magnifying glass. The Passover lamb, find a blemish. Find a blemish. Pilate, the Roman official, read it in the book of John. 3 times, he said, 3 times, this impartial, ungodly man said, I find no fault in the man. He's a fool. He had him scourged anyway and crucified, but he had no fault. The Pharisees hold every word. You know why they killed Jesus Christ? They hired people to lie about him, but none of it stuck. He died by admitting who he was. He said, I'm the Son of God. They said, we've heard the blasphemy. What need we have more witnesses? They couldn't find one fault. And they honed every word trying to. Well, you hone my words, you'll find a lot of fault quickly. But they couldn't find one thought. They couldn't find one action. He died for claiming to be the Son of God. Who he is. No fault. So blemish. I love that. Without a lamb, without blemish, without spot. If he had one, he would be qualified to be our Savior. Now let's look at Matthew 1, 20 and 21. Verse 21 is the one we love, but verse 20, you've got to get a running start into it. But while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now, that's one of our beautiful texts, isn't it? She shall bring forth a son. I used to hear my preacher preach this, the baptized me a lot of the time. He loved these shalls. He said, did that happen? Yeah. She did bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. You know, that means Jehovah saves. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. My friend, he's going to save all his people from their sins. Okay, let's go to another one. Matthew 20:28. I hope you're enjoying this. If you're not, you need to chew on it and pray about it, because these are the Lord's truth. My eternal salvation depends on this. And my everyday salvation depends on this. Right now, I need the blood every day. I'll read you something about that in a minute. I need the blood every day. I love the song, the power in the blood, power in the blood. Wonder working, power in the blood of the Lamb. I need it. Matthew 20:28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, he didn't. He set the example of being a servant. But to minister, give his life a ransom for many. He came to give us a ransom. John 10:11, you kids love this one. We do this on Wednesday night sometime. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Right? He's the good shepherd. He's the one that John said in 1:29 over there, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. All right, let's look over in 1 Peter 2:24. Peter is just filled with good scriptures. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins, S-I-N-S, his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins, should live into righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. He quoted from Isaiah 53, which I'll read part of that in a minute. Isn't that great though? Let's read that again. That's 1 Peter 2:24. If you're not memorizing some of these, you ought to memorize a few of them. Don't have to memorize this many if you don't want to. Get 4 or 5 of them. It'd be good for you to chew on them and think about them. Who his own self bear our sins, his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins, should live into righteousness by whose stripes you were healed. Okay, old Peter, he really loved this, didn't he? He come down in verse 3:18, 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. That's the truth, because he is just and we're unjust. He might bring us to God. Isn't that great? Bring us to God. Bring us to God. Bring us to God. We who alienated, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Let's look at the last book of the Bible for a couple of scriptures. How about Revelation 1:5? Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. What a fountain. I go in a sinner, I come out clean. Washed me from my sins, his own blood. What a washing. What a washing. I remember hearing Brother Norman Cooper one time preach. They went on this text here from Titus 1 about the washing of regeneration. We was at Cuyahoga Church, and we got this Holy Ghost was so thick you could cut it almost. We're just in awe. The Spirit was there. Old Cooper said, he called it God's washing machine. He said, you don't only come out of this thing clean, you come out new. Because you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. I should have shouted that. They almost did. I said amen pretty loud. But it was wonderful. God's washing machine. He washed me from my sins in his own blood. Okay, we'll be joining this course someday in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. We'll be up there. We can do it now, son. We do it, son, here at church. We're going to be doing it there. It's going to be real wonderful to join up there. This is marvelous array of the 420 elders and all the 12, you know, all of how it goes there. And they sing a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals. Thou wast slain, have redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. They're having a big time praising him, and we will also. Romans 3:24. I'm just going to give you a few more. My friend, the Bible full of this. Being justified, let me say what you know what justified means? It means not guilty. That's what it means, not guilty. It's the righteousness is a kindred word. They're same word family. Justified, justified, justified. If Tony's justified, he's not guilty. It says he had never sinned. Being justified, Freddie, you know what that word Freddie really means? The Greek, without a cause, on us, on our part. Being justified, Freddie, by his grace, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. That's a full work right there. Y'all show that verse this afternoon. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. You can get a verse like that in Metatron for a while, can't you? Isn't that great? I'm not guilty. Right now, I'm not guilty. Legally. I know I'm still a sinner. I'm not glorified yet. And it's hard for me to get a hold of if it's just the truth. Not guilty. All right, let's go to Isaiah 53. I won't read the whole wonderful book, chapter, but I'm going to read just two verses out of there. Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. He is wounded for our transgressions. He is bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What a great verse. Acts chapter 20, talking to the preachers there. And preachers need to remember this. I need to always remember who I'm preaching to. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore to yourselves, all the flock, of the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God. He hath purchased with his own blood. Purchase means buy, doesn't it? You think he got what he purchased? Ephesians said we're the purchased possession. He purchased us. He bought us. That means something then. How's that going to affect the way I live? Well, everybody needs to listen to this. We all say young people need to listen to it, but old people do too. I guarantee you that. Let's listen to this. How should that affect me then? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. If you're bought the price. If you're a child of God, you've been bought by price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. In your spirit, which belong to God. You don't belong to yourself. We live in a selfish world today. I've been reading a lot about stuff like that lately. About the secular world. And their theory is that everybody belongs to themselves. That's why they say, well, if you don't practice euthanasia, you practice it. It's your body. You don't practice abortion, practice your body. You belong to yourself, but you don't belong to yourself. Nobody does, really, even though not everybody's redeemed. Everybody owes God allegiance and a creator. We have a double allegiance if we're children of God. He's not only my creator, he's my redeemer. You're bought the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which belong to God. And then two more, I'll be through with these. I want to read you a couple of songs, we'll be through. But look at I guess one of my favorites of all of them. I've got favorites and real favorites and super favorites. And this may be a super, I don't know. Let's talk about imputation. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him, God the Father hath made him the Son, to be sin for us, the children, who knew no sin, he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let me kind of unpack that a little bit. You probably are going to unpack it anyway. Let's just work a little bit. For he, God the Father, had made him, God the Son, to be sin, because that's what he went on the cross, for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's amazing. Christ's righteousness had been imputed to my account. Imputed just means charged my account. See, all my sins, it's a transferal. It's a transferal. This is a literal transferal. That's one reason I don't like what Andrew Fuller said about it. Let me tell you what Andrew Fuller said. He said, you cannot transfer guilt and righteousness. You can only transfer the effects of guilt and righteousness. Now, that may be true in humanity. Let's say Eric commits a murder, and he won't. I'm the governor. I can pardon Eric. Legally, he's free, but he's still a murderer. Brother, this is better than that. This is better than that. Fuller was wrong. Not only can the effects be transferred, the real guilt transferred. That's the truth. Your literal guilt, not just the effects of it, your literal guilt of praying on Jesus Christ. Amen. It's gone. Like the scapegoat. Find it if you can. Find it if you can't. He's gone too far. He's going to a land not inhabited. He's a scapegoat. He's gone. You can't find him. Look for him if you want to. You can't find him. It's gone. The devil can't find your sins. You can't find your sins, really. And God can't find your sins. They're gone. For he had made him to be sin for us, that he might be made the righteousness of God in us. My friend, we're righteous, clothed in his righteousness. And I just can't preach it like it ought to be preached. Nobody can. It's the truth. Finally, Galatians 3:13. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law. That curse is a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing indeed. My friend, the cursed people will be in damnation forever. Sin brought a curse to it. It is a terrible curse. Brother Bradley even preached about that this morning. Some people say, we're basically good. Well, explain to me then, Hitler. Explain to me, Mussolini. Explain to me, ISIS. Explain to me the millions of people, 50, 60 million in World War II. Explain to me the whole history of the human race, and we're basically good. Explain the natural disasters. Because not only, my friend, was Adam cursed, but the earth was cursed. The earth groaning right now, prevailing, waiting to be the redemption of God's people. You read Romans chapter 8. I ain't got time for that right now. Curse is a terrible thing. Someday the Lord say, depart from me, you work iniquity, you're cursed. But he said, Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. That's why he had a hard time on Calvary. That's why God poured his wrath out on him. He is cursed. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, let me read you some songs. If you want to, you've got your own way of doing things. If you think you can get more out of it, you can eyeball it with me. If not, just listen. But I'd like to read some songs. Three songs, when we be through. By the way, on this song of the Fountain Filled with Blood, number 124, I heard a story one time that touched my heart. A man had cancer of the tongue. They had to cut his tongue out. And the doctor said, you're fixing to say the last word you'll ever say. What are you going to say? He's going to sing this song. What do you think your last word would be? Can't say anything else. We talk a lot, don't we? It's a blessing to be able to talk. This man said, I want to sing this song. that a fountain filled with blood run from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plumb beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see the fountain in his day. He did, didn't he? I hope that blood was shed for me. Wash my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love had been my theme and shall be till I die. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. Isn't that a great song that William Cooper wrote? And then this good sister, Ann Steele, wrote number four. She wrote number four. She just was in an ecstasy when she wrote this song, and we ought to all be. Over in number four here, to our Redeemer's glorious name. To our Redeemer's glorious name, awake the sacred song. Oh, may his love, immortal flame, tune every heart and tongue. His love, what mortal thought can sketch? What mortal tongue display? Imagination's utmost stretch, and wonder dies away. He left the radiant throne on high, left the bright realms of bliss, and came to earth to bleed and die. Was ever love like this? He took the dying creditor's place and suffered in his stead. For man, oh, miracle of grace, for man the Savior bled. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. And then I hope to sing this song in sweeter strains on high. And then finally, one the children like a lot, and we big kids like it too, I guess. But the kids just love this song. I'm glad you do. It's number 557. It's so simple and so sweet. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You down, you need to be made whole. He's Jehovah Rophi. He can apply the blood to you in a fresh way. Not redeeming, but restoring. You can't get up on your own. You got to depend on the blood, even in a practical way. For my pardon, this I say, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can stand atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nor the fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Isn't that sweet?